all of us that lead in one way or another, eventually we have to turn over the baton. And I think that it's important to, that we really pay it forward so that the next generation is prepared to take us to the next level.
Hey, you two, that's the end of the show, and I really want to thank you for being with us. Special thanks to our guest, Benton County District Attorney John Haraldson. Find out more about his work at www.oregon.gov/Hispanic. And Andrea Steele of Emerge America. Connect with her at emergeamerica.org. Emergeor.org is Emerge Oregon. And to find out more about this study, go to www.wholeads.us. Thank you again for being with us.
Thank you for having us, Lisa.
If I was a mole in the ground, I'd root that mountain down, and I wish I was a mole in the ground.
Tune in to KBOO Monday mornings at 9 for the Old Mole Variety Hour, your source for radically democratic news, views, reviews, and interviews, stories of ordinary and extraordinary people working to root down the oppressive institutions of capitalism. That's the Old Mole Variety Hour, Monday mornings at 9.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Friday, July 10th, 2015, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. And now for 15 minutes of news, commentary, and jiggery-pokery with me, Chris Andre. Today's theme, Back to Drac. The vote this Sunday is going to be crucial. Today's guest is James Henry, Senior Fellow at the Columbia Center on Sustainable Investment, joining us to explain why this is such an important vote coming up in Greece on Sunday. And a man that we've been trying to get on the show this week, Mathieu Aitkens, he is just back from Yemen, and he wrote a new piece in Rolling Stone. There is a video. If you Google watch a dispatch from the scene of Saudi Arabia's war crimes in Yemen, you'll find it on the Rolling Stone website. Just Google that. And he recently won the Overseas Press Club Award for Best Magazine Reporting. So we'll, as we stand by and do nothing, watching the Greek nation implode and the Greek people suffer, wondering how this ever was allowed to happen. It was not allowed to happen. It was orchestrated to happen. First, a couple headlines. So why would 46 senators support burning trees for electricity when it contributes more to climate change than coal? Well, unfortunately, there's 46 senators are publicly endorsing the idea last week, led by Susan Collins, a Republican from Maine, and wait for it, our own Senator Jeff Merkley. This group wrote a letter to the U.S. and EPA, the Environmental Protection Service, Department of Agriculture, and the Department of Energy. See, those entities should never be mentioned in the same sentence. Demanding. Not asking, demanding that these agencies accept something that is clearly and demonstrably false, that biomass power is carbon neutral. It isn't. That's a lie. Science absolutely confirms that that's a lie, that it's far worse than coal as far as pollution is concerned. And taking more trees out of the ground means less air for all of us. While the letter was chock full of anti-science senators like David Vitter, Jeff Merkley on board with David Vitter, Republican from Louisiana. They fancy themselves climate leaders. They should know better. Science is clear. Sending whole trees through the smokestacks of power plants is a terrible way to generate electricity. Shame on them. Call Jeff Merkley. And the House passed a bill yesterday designed to improve the health of national forests by, wait for it, scaling back the environmental reviews and protections that go into some timbering projects and discouraging, clamping down, silencing lawsuits that delay projects. The goal is to speed up timber harvests. And Reuters wrote last Friday, tens of thousands of Hondurans poured in the streets. They're in the streets today protesting the, what was done to them. The U.S. completely, absolutely, not just complicit, but central to the corruption and the coup-ism, as they call it, as in coup d'etat. Recently released Hillary Clinton emails further implicate the U.S. government in the 2009 Honduras coup. There is a CEPR nearly released Clinton emails reveal State Department's celebration over Honduras' flawed elections following a military coup. That's from and from The Intercept. You can also look at during Honduras crisis, Clinton suggested back channel with lobbyist Danny Davis. There's a lot more on what's going on in Honduras. And again, this is done in our name. In our name. The U.S. is backing this. Maybe you forgot in the heat wave about the Trans-Pacific Partnership, but let me tell you something. President Obama didn't forget. To facilitate the passage of the TPP, the U.S. has upgraded Malaysia in its annual human rights trafficking report. The U.S. has done this, taken Malaysia from the lowest tier on its list of the worst human trafficking centers, and suddenly made it upgraded to tier two. How'd that happen? Obama is literally accepting slavery in order to win the Trans-Pacific Partnership deal. It is an utter, absolute disgrace. Many, many times on this show, we've asked people to call the White House, to leave a message. You very often actually get to speak to somebody. And if it seems it's not a lot to ask. We're going to go to our first guest now, James Henry, as we said before, Senior Fellow, Columbia Center on Sustainable Environment, the Sag Harbor Group, and credentials going, all filling up a whole page. But we want to welcome you, James, back to the KBOO airwaves. I commend listeners' attention to an earlier statements and some of the work that you've done in revealing what really went on. The vote coming up on Sunday is critical, but can you take us through why this never should have happened and didn't have to happen? It's a punishment to the Greek people. It's an unserviceable debt. Can you talk a little bit about what's happening on Sunday and how we arrived at this point?
Well, we had the referendum last Sunday. The Greek people, after 6 years of austerity, have rejected the approach that the EU and the ECB imposed on them, the IMF, which insisted on basically repaying the debt of 323 billion euros in total, without any debt relief. The original sin of this was, of course, the debt itself, which was assembled from 2000, most of which grew up from 2000-2007 before the financial crisis hit. During that period, the French banks and German banks basically loaned a whole lot of lousy loans to Greek government and to banks in Greece, and then basically got bailed out in 2010-2012. But the conditions then became very onerous on the Greek economy in order to repay the debt. They were required to do budget cutting, to raise taxes on low-income people. And after 6 years of this, without any economic growth, the economy's been essentially a Great Depression, with incomes, per capita incomes falling 25%, more than 25% of the population unemployed, of the labor force unemployed, 55% of young people unemployed, and nothing to look forward to other than more debt service, because The new Syriza government that came in January was insisting on an end to this policy, but was unable to get the IMF and the ECB and the EU to negotiate a new deal. So, as of last Sunday, they had a national referendum in Greece in which they basically said no to more austerity. They want to stay in the euro, but they don't want to have to pay this outrageous debt. And, you know, the IMF actually came out with a study just last week that basically agreed with them that debt relief was necessary. You know, this is a situation where if Greece was a private company, they would go to the bankruptcy court and they would be able to get the creditors to share some of the debt burden. Now, under what's happened since this referendum, at first there was a wave of great enthusiasm in Greece, but the coalition of Nordic countries in the EU that's been enforcing this kind of bloodletting policy, anti-austerity policy, very severe policies toward Greece, basically responded by saying, you know, that's interesting, but we're going to cut off aid to your banks, and you're going to go into a full default as of next week if you don't come to terms with us. You're going to have to float your own currency. Your banks are going to fail. It's going to mean even more hardship because Greece imports most of its food and most of its oil, and, you know, having to go to issuing their own currency, not only would they default on their foreign debt, not be able to borrow, but they would immediately experience hyperinflation.
Hang on a minute, Jim. We're short on time today. Very short on time.
Yeah.
Give us an idea of by next week, are they going to go back to Drax, or how would that's not possible?
The short answer is the Greek prime minister, under duress and under pressure, has basically caved into the EU conditions, and he submitted a new proposal as of today that basically accepted and even went farther than what the EU and ECB and IMF had proposed in terms of austerity.
Meanwhile, the Greek people are suffering horribly. I hate to cut you off. I'd like to invite you back very soon, Monday, if possible, to continue this, because by Monday there will have been enormous changes. It's a punitive policy. It's about making an example of Greece. Obviously, the dynamics are that the EU is worried about the rise of the left in Spain. And, of course, in France, Marine Le Pen's party is dancing in the streets, celebrating the misery of the Greek people. It's a disgrace.
Yeah.
Disgrace.
Yeah, it's really outrageous. I'll be happy to come back on Monday and tell you what happened over the weekend.
We'll count on that. Thank you so much,
great.
James. We really appreciate your joining us today. Our guest today has been James Henry, Senior Fellow, Columbia Center on Sustainable Investment. We go now to Matteo Akins, recently back from Yemen. There's an incredible video, amazing video on the Rolling Stone website. It's the dispatch from the scene of Saudi Arabia's war crimes. Can you tell us, why is Saudi Arabia committing war crimes against the Yemeni people? And why are the Houthi overthrow, why is that of such concern to Saudi Arabia?
Well, Chris, they are committing these acts as part of a campaign of bombing that they've started since March, and with the effort to return the exiled President Hadi to power, whom the Saudis support against the Houthi government. Now, for the Saudis, they view the Houthi rebels as supported by their arch rival, Iran.
Yes.
So that's what's triggered this military operation.
It's always Iran lurking in the background that keeps people in that whole region nervous. As in the short time that we have, can you talk a little bit about the video? It's you hold your breath watching it, waiting for a Saudi airstrike. You mentioned in the video that there are Saudi fighter jets in the skies over you while the villages are destroyed. The souk, you can almost imagine what that might have looked like.
We traveled to an area that was, you know, hadn't been visited by Western journalists before. In fact, there's been very little press coverage coming from the country. One of the reasons is that the Saudis are blockading Yemen by air, land, and sea, and they're not allowing foreign journalists to enter the country. We had to basically smuggle ourselves in on a small boat. And then the area that we traveled to on the border with Saudi Arabia is known as Sada province. And there's been just a massive campaign of bombing. The Saudis declared the entire province to be a military zone. And as a result, you know, they've just unleashed this hugely devastating wave of airstrikes against the population that isn't really getting reported on.
According to what law are they able to declare a whole province basically a target?
Well, there's, you know, these are in violation of the law, international humanitarian law, according to Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch, which forbids indiscriminate attacks against civilian populations or infrastructure. It forbids the forcible displacement of civilians. So when you declare an entire province with a population of a million to be a military target, that's basically what you're doing. It's kind of reminiscent of the U.S.'s free fire zones in Vietnam. But again, this is being done with the support of the United States and support of Europe.
The Western world.
Yeah.
Matteo, thank you so much. We're out of time. They're bringing up my theme. I'm so sorry to have to cut you off. My guest is Matteo Akins, back from Yemen. Take a look at that video in Rolling Stone. You won't believe what you are seeing. This has been Air Cascadia for Friday, July 10th, 2015. Kate Welch engineered the show for us today. Thanks for that, Kate. Kathleen Stevenson is a KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand.
I'm a loving the old lion, a winner without fail.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the PDX Leo Party, Friday, July 31st, starting at 8 p.m. at Kelly's Olympian. A birthday celebration for all you Portland Leos, with special performances from Sleep of Old Dominion and the Chicharrones.